Hey, gang, I see you there. And you look marvelous. Well, that was a impression of who's that Jewish comedian from the Oscars? Bill Kristol, not to be confused with William Kristol, who's that Jew from the media, from that Jew from...
Billy Kristol.
Yeah, I mean, there's Billy Kristol, who's a comedian. He was originally on a show called Mary Hartman, back in the 70s. He played the gay son on Mary Hartman. There's some trivia. Hey, we got to introduce the show. Gang... This and you do look marvelous, and it's not how you feel, it's how you look. That's what Billy Kristol would say during his shtick on Saturday Night Live, where he was imitating Ricardo Montalban or something like that. And so you can support RBN, where not only do you have free speech, but from time to time you've got inane speech, and that can be supported too, right? That's not the main thing. The free speech is what you're paying for. The inane speech, you get that free. And so go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button. It will tell you how you can call the money in, how you can electronically internet it in through the tubes, send a check or well-concealed cash if, comma, you prefer anonymity, comma, or something like that. Remember the commas. Commas are very important. Also, go to nationalbugle.com. Download the kosher-tified app and lead a non-kosher-certified lifestyle. All right, Philbert, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello there. Great to be with you, as always.
It is. It's great to have you. And we talk about stuff here. There's a lot of stuff going on. For my Tuesday show, and we're recording Tuesday afternoon. This will probably be a Thursday or a Friday when it gets aired. But I did a rant, which I had recorded most of it, walking around in the park at night with my dogs. And you can hear the crickets. And I ranted. And I ranted mostly about Afghanistan and how this withdrawal from Afghanistan, the way it's working out, is pretty much better than anything we could have expected. And yet you've got people jumping on totally real President Joseph R. Biden. As if they want chlamydia, and I just don't get it. But did you get what I was trying to say there?
Well, I got your hint, yes.
Okay, good. And then there's a lot of other stuff going on. You've got Lord Fauci, who was on with the gay guy from CNN. Which gay guy am I talking about? Because there's a bunch of them. But Anderson Cooper, okay? And... He's saying that we got to forget about freedom. It's time to overcome this pandemic once and for all. And when I say overcome it once, that means maybe next spring, maybe next fall, but who knows? But maybe we'll have to do it again once and for all.
Yeah.
Did you hear any of that?
You were talking about Sean Hannity. I have been hearing that. I'll get into that in a second. You were talking about Sean Hannity too, and how. He is just a piece of crap. I hate that guy. He's like a liar. If he's like the, I don't know, he would be like a statue of a Shabbos Goy if there ever was one, you know? It's like he's the model Shabbos Goy.
Yeah.
At least on the Republican side, I guess. So.
And I would challenge him to a cage fight because, like, in the cage, I would totally kick his ass. Except I know that he packs a Roscoe. And he would he'll blow people's brains out and then urinate on their corpse. I've seen him do it many times. So that's the one thing with him, because he is a psycho.
Yeah, and it's almost like life is a video game like that nowadays, or not a video game, but maybe like a bad episode of a horribly uncomical sitcom.
Well, I mean, you know where he came from, right? You know what he did. Before he was on Fox News.
No, I know he's from the Upper East Side, and he's a piece of crap liar.
Yeah, that's a backstory that was manufactured. He is an NPC from Grand Theft Auto. And they managed to extract him from Grand Theft Auto and turn him into some sort of like cyborg hologram.
Now I want to make a character of him and maybe just run him over. In the video game, of course, in the video game. But that got to me to thinking that, like you were saying yesterday in your show, that, like, the arguments that we are, I guess, for lack of a better word, afforded or given, you know, as, like, acceptable discourse, right? Like, oh, you can't be racist. Like, you know, the words and phrases that we're actually able to use in our defense, like, to say in normicon language, it's almost like this. This is the way I look at it. If we could step out, it's like if you're playing a video game, say an old-fashioned fighting game, and you put it on two players, but there's only one person there, and you have both controllers. That's the same effect of running over with one character and like fighting the other character, and then using the other hand to defend it. If I'm making any sense, it's just basically you're seeing what you want to see because you control everything.
Who controls everything?
Das Juden.
Das Juden. And speaking with Germanic accents, who else is saying it's time to give up our freedom?
Lord Fauci. Amen.
Well, Lord Fauci, but who else?
Schwarzenegger.
And what does his name mean anyway? Schwartz German for black?
Yeah, and well, it has negra. Negra is Spanish for black, too, or negro.
So is he a black negro? Is that what his name says?
He's a black man's black. yeah, that's what you were explaining to me, actually, prior on the show. It's Schwarza, black, and then negra, black. So, yeah.
He's as
screw
black.
Your freedoms!
Yeah, screw your freedom. And, of course, we're laughing, but you've got Empress Horseface down in New Zealand. And Tucker, who...
My God, she is hideous. She is so god-awfully hideous.
She is hideous.
I don't think she stinks as much as Ilhan Omar. But, God, it's like, what's worse, smelling Ilhan Omar or looking at her?
I mean, Ilhan Omar, I don't know what she smells like, but she does cover... she does wear the bulb cover. This horse face lady for a while was doing the Muslim headdress, and frankly I wish she'd stick to it, because the less we have to see of her the better.
Right.
Do you remember when she was on that Muslim headdress kick, right?
I that's all I remember her as. Fortunately I haven't had to look at her recently or smell her.
After that Aussie guy did the live streaming of I guess he thought he was playing. Was that a live action? Was he LARPing? Except LARPing in real life.
It's not really LARPing if you end up, you know.
I know. The thing is, the boundary between video game and reality is becoming very blurred. I mean, Sean Hannity is just one example.
Yeah.
I mean, he came out of the video game into reality. This Aussie guy who shot up the people in Christchurch or Christ Mosque or Muhammad Mosque. Isn't that weird? It didn't occur to me at the time, but the irony of all these Muslims getting shot up in Christchurch.
Yeah. I mean, that is ironic, I must admit.
It's the first time it's actually occurred to me. And I'm not making light of it or making fun of it.
It is what it is. I mean, it doesn't take away the yin yang effect.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then the Aussies going full out. I mean, they are going like from a Hollywood movie or something, like Blade Runner. I mean, what Hollywood movie had a dystopia where police would come and beat you up if you left your house, if you went to church, if you went out exercising without a mask? You know,
it's wild. Yeah. They've gone straight totalitarian, like authoritarian down in the land down under. It's
like, yeah,
it's
like really we've scary. Never seen.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I went to a number of countries behind the Iron Curtain back in the day. So I went to China when it was still communist. I don't think it's communist anymore. I think it's something different, but whatever. I went to, in 1980s, I did the tour. I went to China. I went to the Soviet Union three times. I went to Poland. I went to Hungary. I went to Czechoslovakia. I went to Bulgaria, and I went to Yugoslavia. And I didn't quite get to North Korea. I got right to the edge of it, and I could see the North Koreans like 20 feet away or whatever. I technically went inside. There's a building there on the DMV, and you can the demilitarized line runs right through this glorified trailer. And if the North Korean guards aren't in the room at the time, you're allowed to walk to the North Korean side. So I mean, I did that, but that doesn't really count. But there was never anything like that. There was never, you know, the scariest thing was in Bulgaria, where I kept having the security forces. Everybody kept asking me for my, not for my vaccine papers, but just for my foreign exchange receipt, because I got there in the middle of the night and I needed some local money, and I had a taxi driver, and he said he could change some money for me. So I gave him a little, you know, what did I give him? Like 100 Swiss francs. And he gave me the equivalent in Bulgarian lev. And little did I know that every time I was trying to spend the money in a hotel or on a train ticket or whatever, everybody asked me for my foreign exchange receipt. And you did have security people walking around with, you know, their machine guns. And when I was talking to a North Korean, because I was lost and I don't speak Bulgarian or Russian, but I was pretty good at Korean. So I went up to this guy who obviously was Korean because they have a very distinct face. And I tried asking him where the station was, and he didn't want to talk to me. And then the next thing you know, I guess the security people saw two foreigners talking to each other and wanted to know what was up. And they came over, let the North Korean guy off, and then asked me for my foreign exchange papers. But they didn't beat me up. They let me go. But in Australia, if you're out and you don't have your vax papers or whatever, they're beating you up. This is worse than anything I ever saw in any communist country. So I'm just saying.
Land of the free. I mean, they don't claim to be. That's not their, you know, motto, or that's not what they're known for, I guess. But still, I mean, that's a white country. I mean, to me, that's an Anglo, you know, Five Eyes nation, which we are too. We're one of the Five Eyes. Canada, United States, UK, New Zealand, Australia.
That's the Anglosphere, basically, right. minus Ireland, which, for whatever reason, never went in for that.
Well, my opinion, I've looked at it this way, and there was a German, I watch a lot of videos online, and there's a lot of different places to get good content at nowadays. But there was a German guy, and it was all in subtitles, so I don't know the guy's name, but he said guns are freedom, basically. And like, look, we are not, meaning him, Europeans in Europe, I presume. He said, we are not free. We don't have guns, you know? So if you think about it, like, guns in the long run as a societal, not on an individual basis, like on a societal basis, like they said, an armed society is a good society. Well, on a societal basis, if a society is armed, it makes it much harder for the, like we were talking about last week, about how it's a big deterrent for the government to come and try to force vaccinate people. So in a sense, we still do have some freedom, thank God. I don't want to credit all that to weaponry and the Second Amendment, but hopefully you get my point.
Well, it's a deterrent. I mean, the odds, like, so totally real President Joseph R. Biden famously a few weeks ago said that you can't overthrow the United States government with guns. You'd need, you know, fighter jets and nuclear weapons. Now, of course, the Taliban had guns, and they weren't overthrowing the government of the United States, but they did kick Zog out of their country. But I think totally real President Joseph R. Biden does make a point. It's not that simple to rise up and overthrow the government. I mean, 250 years ago, almost, the colonists rose up, and it took what, 6 years or so?
And they still haven't gotten over that, have they? They still haven't gotten over that.
Haven't they gotten over it?
No, they haven't. They're still removing the flag and all the statues. They're still mad about it.
Oh, but it's not the British who are removing the flag and the statues.
Oh, I thought you meant the Civil War. That's what I was referring to.
Yeah, no, I'm referring to the American Revolution.
Correct. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, the British aren't doing that, no.
Yeah. No, but, you know, the Civil War is another example, because that's where you had the South. And it was constitutionally, when you get down to it, I mean, I'm not really a constitutional scholar, but the Constitution, on the one hand, it did spell out procedures for admitting new states. It did not spell out procedures for secession, but also did not ban it, did not explicitly ban secession. And so I think you could make the argument, is it the Ninth Amendment or the Tenth Amendment, that one of them says anything, I mean, actually, I guess both of them would work. One is that anything that's not, any rights that are not explicitly given to the federal government revert to the state government or the people. Right. And the other is that rights that aren't explicitly spelled out, just because a right isn't explicitly spelled out, I guess it's the Ninth Amendment, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So I think you could use either of those to argue that states do have the right to secession. But at any rate, the Civil War happened the way it happened, and secession was blocked. But the thing is, I think it's totally LARPy and unrealistic for people to say, we've got to organize and we're going to overthrow the government or anything, that type of thing. But the fact that you've got so many, like maybe half the households in the United States have guns. Whenever they're talking about doing something door to door, they got to take that into consideration. And because they don't know which houses have the guns. And so I do think that the having 300 million or whatever firearms scattered through all these households in the United States, it is a very important deterrent effect, and it does put limits on what government can do, and puts a certain limits on tyranny. But those limits, are they being tested?
No, they're not being challenged. That's the thing. And we don't need to challenge the government with nuclear weapons, you know? Like let's get real. Like, what a joke. I mean, that's why he said that. It's like almost everything the government does is a LARP, too. Like, the Empire just got defeated by a bunch of cave dwellers that can't even fire an AK-47 properly, right? Well, how pathetic is that?
Can they not fire an AK-47 properly?
Well, maybe in some cases they get lucky, but no, in large, I would say they can't.
I mean, the Taliban, the Taliban seemed to know more or less what they were doing. The government-trained forces, they were struggling with the jumping jacks, I think.
I saw that. Yes, and
the Taliban seem to have mastered the finer arts of jungle gyms and monkey bars.
If we saw the same video, yeah, there was a later clip of looked like an American telling one of the Afghan leaders, he was showing them how to check power steering fluid in the vehicle that they're going to be driving around, and. So if somebody can't even do jumping jacks, you're going to try to explain to them what power steering is and how to check power steering fluid, right? So, okay. Right. Good luck.
Well, all right. So we're at the break. We'll be back right after these important messages.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
So we are back and we're just talking stuff. We're talking story, as they say in Hawaii. Tulsi, are you listening? You ought to be listening. You get a lot out of these shows. We're talking story. And so you got this massive crackdown over the corona apocalypse. And I was talking to a friend last week who was making a pretty passionate and convincing case that really it's time to pick a side, and that if you're going to wear the mask into Walmart, if you're going to go along with any of this stuff, you've basically picked a side, and it's the wrong side. Now, as a matter of practical, looking at this practically, the costs of compliance or non-compliance are not spread out evenly, right? I mean, some people don't need to go into Walmart, or some people are in a position where they can make a scene over something and the downside to them is not that great. And then other people, you know, their jobs, their livelihood depends on it. They might have a sick family member or a sick dog that they've got to take care of, and they need that paycheck. So really the benefits and risks are not evenly distributed. But still, I think my friend makes a very, very valid point that, every time you comply, you are you are acting on behalf of the corona apocalypse regime.
I agree. I completely agree. And I would be a friend of your friends, I'm sure. So let me tell you a quick funny story of what I did. This was about a year ago. I was a month into working at a new employer, you know, and due to the shutdowns, you know, lost my job, had to get a new one. And then what happened was I went a month without wearing a mask, and everybody did. And this was, you know, the time where Fauci said, oh, you don't need to wear a mask. And then all of a sudden you need to wear a mask. Everybody remembers that, I'm sure. So, and then now there was a mask craze, right? You know, you can't enter without a mask and everything. And there were certain people that were getting beaten up and, you know, thrown out of places, restaurants and such, and school board meetings and everything. But, well, this was that time period, like a month after Fauci said you didn't need to wear a mask. They told me at work I needed to wear one, and I'm like, I don't want to. And they're like, well, do you have a medical reason? I'm like, no, I shouldn't need permission to breathe, basically, was my argument. And they're like, well, you need to wear one, otherwise you need to go home and we'll talk about it Monday. And I said, no, I have a mask in my car, I'll wear. So I came back, and I was waiting for this. I had a Halloween Darth Vader mask in my car. No joke. I came back into my employer wearing a full face Darth Vader mask. And everybody just kind of looked at me, and there's a few people that knew my personality, so they just kind of giggled. And then I said, hey, look, I got a mask. And I got away with working for about an hour until they told me that all they wanted me to do was poke the blackness of the eyes out, because they said I couldn't see. And I'm like, okay, so I did that, and I continued the rest of the day with my Darth Vader mask on. Okay, and that's just... the whole reason I'm telling you this long, drawn-out, stupid story is because this is a light way of protesting this. Like, if we can't accept this, you know? So, I mean, as funny as it may be, and, I mean, I did struggle to breathe, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't fun, but these are the kind of things we got to do, right? You want a mask? Okay, I'll give you one. You know, go overboard. You know, be bold, go over the top, get attention, like, do what the left does, only in reverse. Yeah. You know, or a mirror opposite view.
Okay. And I have, I guess for reasons of Halloween's past, I've got a Robin mask. I should have a Batman mask, which would be even better, especially if it had the ears. But the thing about the Robin mask and the Batman mask is they cover your face. At least the Robin one just covers your
eyes. Right, not the mouth.
They don't cover your mouth at all. And, you know... whether you want to go that far at your workplace or whatever, it's certainly something you can do at the hardware store or the, Walmart or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. If you're a
mask,
man,
okay. And you put on your Batman mask.
Yeah.
Walk around.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Do it at your local retailer, right? Whenever they get onto your case, because they're not going to fire you from there. Right. Maybe if you want to keep your job and you have children, you need to support people. Yeah. I mean, make your own decision.
Tough.
Make your own decision.
It's really tough, and I wouldn't just come out flat out and say anybody who complies with any rules is our enemy, because things are very, very difficult, and the costs of non-compliance are enormous for some people.
What do you think about the vaccine, though, with this vaccine? Because this has the potential to kill you. You know, a lot of people, a lot of professionals are saying that this is going to kill you, and a lot of people are just taking it for the same reason as, like, that they had to wear a mask. To me, dare I say, that's the hill I will die on. I'm not going to take this vaccine, ever.
Right.
I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not vaccine hesitant. Uh-huh. Like, I just don't want it because I don't want to die.
Right. Okay. Well, we're at the break, but I'm very eager to discuss that after these important messages.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, so just before the break, Gilbert asked me the $6 million question. And that is, what about the vaccinations? Are they death shots? And, you know, people send me a lot of information on the vaccinations, on the, you know, the risks and all this stuff. And I have watched and listened to a bunch of stuff. And honestly, a lot of stuff I don't. And I don't talk about the vaccinations that much, the vaccinations per se. That
right.
Much.
I mean is like the policy of mandatory vaccines.
Well, the policy I talk about a lot. And that I'm absolutely dead set against the vaccine mandates for sure. The vaccines themselves, there's a number of them, and they're using different technologies. You know, in the United States, I guess what's available is Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. Was the AstraZeneca one ever available in the United States? I don't think it was. Maybe it was. That's a British company. It's available in Europe and a lot of other places. There are a few Chinese vaccines, most prominently the Sinovac, which is an old-fashioned vaccine. Cuba has developed a vaccine. The thing about the Sinovac vaccine is, even though it's not available in the United States, at universities, it is acceptable because they're not going to tell all these Chinese students to take it and stick it, you know, so they'll accept the Sinovac, but it's not available here. Cuba's got one. There's India's got some, but they're not available, and I don't know if they've been cleared by the WHO or whatever. Japan is developing an old-fashioned vaccine, but you see, the Japanese are just sticklers for process and procedures. And their procedure is it takes a long time to do safety testing. You have to do all the safety testing, and that takes a long time. So that vaccine isn't going to be available. I would actually not hesitate to take a Japanese vaccination, basically, because I trust the Japanese government is not an enemy of the Japanese people. And even though, you know, the Japanese pharmaceutical companies don't actually have a 100% stellar record, whatever. But, the vaccinations. So are they a death shot? Is everybody who's taken them going to die within 3 years? I mean, I really, really doubt it. And Andy Hitchcock made the point that why would they want to kill off all the compliant people and have the prickly pears left to deal with?
And that's not what I was insinuating. But, no. But I mean, make no joke about it. People have died after taking this.
Exactly.
I personally know a person who has lost a foot, like from the shin down, from a very rare reaction to this. And, I mean, you have no recourse. Like, that's the thing. Think if you're a musician like myself and you lose a limb. You lose partial limb. You have no recourse.
Right. And famous people have died. I mean, even if you don't know anybody personally, how many famous people do you have in your brain? A few thousand, right? When you get down to it, how many names of celebrities would the average person understand? And so I would know hundreds of baseball players from the 1960s probably. In total it might be 10,000. I don't know, but let's just say it's 10,000.
You got a big brain.
Well, you can tell people Hank Aaron died right after getting the shot.
That's
Larry King died right after getting the shot. Marvin Hagler, boxing champion, died right after getting the shot. And, you know, there's other people. There was some actress who died, but I don't know her name.
There was a 23-year-old footballer, famous footballer in Ireland that died right after receiving it also. I can't remember his name. I remember hearing about it.
And the thing is, we know that lots and lots of people have died. We don't know how many people have died from the shot. And we really don't know how many people have died from the deadly coronavirus, because the numbers are all fake. But I think what we can absolutely say with certainty, just even using their numbers, even using official numbers, their numbers, that for people who aren't in these high-risk categories, in particular for, say, college students, the risk for children or college students from the deadly coronavirus is minuscule. It is negligible. It is...
Yeah, like, you probably have more risk of dying from the vaccine
absolutely
than the virus itself, I would say. I would estimate.
No, I think from the publicly available official data, which is probably both sets, you know, the vax deaths and the corona deaths are probably both skewed dishonestly away from, you know, reality. But even using their data for young people, there is absolutely more risk. And yet they're insisting that young, healthy people take this vax. And so it's completely unacceptable. And anybody who refuses the vaccination is a hero. They did a lot more, honestly. I mean, people who are raising a ruckus and not wearing the masks and going out when they're supposed to be locked down or refusing the vax, they are doing a lot more to secure our freedom than any American soldier in Afghanistan.
Yes. I got kicked out of a local retailer store for not wearing a mask. They were mad. Yeah, exactly. That's one thing you can do. It's not bad. It's not like there's nowhere else to go either. So, I mean, it may suck, or, you know, don't feel embarrassed. Like, make them be the embarrassed one. Make them feel stupid for wanting to kick you out for, like, not needing permission to breathe. Or not, demanding not needing permission to breathe, rather.
Right. And I don't want to be insulting to people who were patriotic and joined the military and went overseas and whatever. A lot of people had very, sincere motives and were sincerely patriotic. And so I'm not trying to insult them. But honestly, if good people weren't in the military would only be full of bad people, and that would be a problem for us. But going over to anybody who went over in the military to Afghanistan or to Iraq did absolutely nothing for our freedom. And we have to be honest about that. And somebody who is like grumpy about wearing the mask at the hardware store, they are doing something for our freedom.
Yes. Yes, and that's not necessarily the military's fault. They don't even really get to choose where they go to in most cases, I believe. But
no, they don't get to choose. And
I do agree. Either way around, we shouldn't have been there, whether they had liked it or not. I gather most of them probably thought the same thing. Can you imagine like trying to teach somebody how to do a jumping jack and they can't even do that? That wouldn't really encourage me of the situation.
Yeah, and I have a friend who is a colonel, and he is an intelligence officer and a good linguist, and he was over there. They taught him one of the languages. It wasn't Pashtun, but it was one of the languages. And he was in an area, and I guess it's an area where they have the dancing boys, and he was just absolutely thoroughly disgusted. We just have no business over there, and yet you've got Sean Hannity and Bill Cunningham and all of these so-called conservative radio people who are slamming, you know, totally real President Joseph R. Biden because he's not getting enough refugees out.
Yep. It's just like you were saying yesterday. It's the argument that we're afforded in mainstream, right? It's just like the crisis at the border, right? It's not the fact that we got thousands of people a day coming over. It's the fact that they're in bad conditions, you know? It's not the fact that, you know, we should have pulled out a long time ago in Afghanistan. It's the fact that we're not letting in the refugees now, you know? It's the argument that conservatives are afforded to use. So just don't use their arguments in mainstream media.
Yeah. And I've seen reports of thousands, like 2,000, but that still qualifies as thousands, 2,000 over the past week or so, Afghan males going into Dulles International Airport outside Washington, D.C., and they're being processed there. And so whenever this war ended, we were going to get some refugees. But the way it's – the botched, bungled way it's ending – is making it more difficult to bring over as many refugees as they want. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We want our enemies to be incompetent.
We do, yeah. And I think in the long run, diversity will make our enemies, such as like the FBI and hopefully the banks, incompetent. I keep waiting for the banks to accept more diversity, you know?
The banks are pretty competent for the most part, but not totally. And, you know, every now and then, well, yeah. The thing is, like,
they're occupied by our fellow whites. Our fellow whites are just they own the IMF. I mean, our fellow whites, they run the Federal Reserve, you know? Our fellow whites, they need to step down and let the blacks in charge, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you go back 13, 14 years to the big financial crisis, you had a lot of, you know, you had Jewish banks that failed and Jews losing their jobs from them. Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, I mean, a lot of these places just failed and a lot of Jews lost their jobs. But, you know, other Jewish institutions were there to pick up the slack, Goldman Sachs or BlackRock or whatever. So they're not infallible. They will make mistakes. And I don't see what's going on here. I could be wrong, but I don't see it as part of a plan where they're actually getting their way by the Taliban taking over. I think that they're not all powerful. They're not omnipotent or omniscient. They don't know everything. They don't have all power. They're humans. They make mistakes. And ultimately, like Kim Il-sung, the great leader, Kim Il-sung, Marshal Kim Il-sung, Comrade Marshal Kim Il-sung, said that the people are the masters of their own destiny. And I'm not sure I know what that means, but it sure sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree. I don't think that it was planned. People saying, oh, this is planned so they can just, you know, come here and attack Americans. Well, that may be what happens. I don't think that was the plan, though. I don't think January 6th was planned either. I mean, I do think there was maybe a couple provocateurs, but in large part, I think it got out of hand, and I don't think they expected it to get as far as it did. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been any deaths. I don't think January 6th was a false flag. I think that's why the media harps on it so much. And that's what I look for. Go ahead.
I was just going to – so there's false flag. It has a definition that might not always be the same for people. There's setup, which is that the same as a false flag? Is a setup the same as a false flag?
It depends on how big of an event it is, I would say. I mean, if an event as large as, like, you could say the flag waving event at on January 6th last year, if that was like a quote setup, I guess I think you could define that as a false flag, in the scale of how big it was.
Okay, so while we're on the topic, so 9/11, right? Let's just say there was planning. And a lot of people in positions of power knew about it and may have participated in one way or another. I'm just going to throw out this as a hypothetical. Let's just say that they planned that they got these 19 jihadists to carry out to hijack four planes, and two of them went into the World Trade Center buildings, one went into the Pentagon, one that was going to go, I guess to the White House, crashed. Oh, okay, let's just say that. And but let's also say that, what if they didn't actually know that the buildings would fall? And they were just assuming that they would have everybody on the plane die, and then maybe a few people in the buildings who were just in wrong offices, but they weren't even expecting it to be like 3,000 dead. They may be expecting it to be 600 dead or something like that. That still would have been enough to probably kick off the wars and the Patriot Act, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I don't disagree with that. No, I don't. But as far as like to if the towers hadn't fallen, I think they had that planned out pretty well. I think that's what happened on the first 9/11, right? Or you could say the first 9/11, I guess, because they had a truck bomb in the basement, right?
Like, was that what, 1994 or something? What year was it?
I think it was earlier than that. I think it was 1990, I believe.
Was it 1990?
It was very early 90s.
Was it during the Bush administration? The first Bush administration?
Yes, okay. I think so.
And so
was another one of the cases where, like, they were warned that a terrorist would do this beforehand. Only, I think that's what they wanted to do that time. So, in the case of 2001, I believe that they had placed explosives beforehand. Any good student of like the 9/11, what actually happened, there were big black boxes of computers, blocks of computers that they, or actually there were batteries for computers that they were bringing in, and they were claimed that they were batteries for UPSs. It's called uninterrupted power supplies, UPS, and they were bringing these big things in by the truckload and lifting them up into the floors. And it's theorized that basically those were the explosives, a lot of the explosives. So.
Well, here's the thing.
And that's all it is a theory. I guess you could say it's a conspiracy theory.
And some people have spent a huge amount of time looking into it, like Ryan Dawson.
Christopher Bolin.
A lot of people have done a lot of really good research. They don't always reach the exact same conclusion, but lots of people spend a lot of time looking into it. I really haven't spent a huge amount of time. Because here's the thing for me. I just gave one scenario. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm not saying that that's what happened. But, okay, that's a
scenario. Right, that was just your hypothetical.
It's one hypothetical. Another hypothetical would be that they crashed the planes into the buildings, assuming that that would be enough to bring down the buildings. Okay, and I don't really think there's a huge difference between those two scenarios.
Right. I don't either.
And then another scenario would be that they crashed the planes into the buildings, but also had them pre-rigged for demolition, which is what a lot of people think. And I don't exclude that. I don't know. But the thing is, if you take those three scenarios, plus some other scenarios, at the end of the day, I think any of them would have been used as an excuse for the wars and the Patriot Act and all that stuff. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter which of those scenarios was the reality. The problem was the response, the wars and the Patriot Act. That was,
yes,
that's the problem. Okay, yes. But we're up at the break, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. We are back. So 9/11, we got wars, we got Patriot Act, but that could never happen again, right? I mean, like, you can't equate the dreaded coronavirus, the pandemic, with 9/11. It's not like they're going to have another Patriot Act, right?
Yeah. See, that's a good point. And if you look at things carefully, and especially in the perspectives of digital privacy, and that's something I like to do. It's a hobby. I like to do that because I like to preserve my own privacy, and I like to help people, you know, that are like-minded, you know, at least know the basics of this too. And this is what I theorize, is that they are preparing for a Patriot Act, I guess you could say, number two, or they'll call it something else, right? They'll call it, what, say, Protecting the People's Act or something.
Yeah, you know, like keeping mommy's little darlings out of danger act.
Yeah, keeping mommy's darlings safe act. Yeah, the rescue puppies act or something like that, you know.
Rescue puppies. So, but didn't the Australians shoot a bunch of puppies because they didn't want people to come out and adopt them because they might die from the deadly coronavirus?
I don't know. I actually heard something about that. I'd hate to even envision that. That's horrible.
Tucker talked about it.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's horrible. But what I was saying is that I think they're envisioning a Patriot Act 2, like a sequel to the Patriot Act. And this is going to be much more digitally intense. There's a lot more digital technologies than there were in, when was it, 2003 or 2002 when this came out about them? I think 2002.
Okay, so these are the dangers. So the Patriot Act, you know, it had a whole bunch of provisions. It's very long, and I guess it was one of these things you have to read it. You have to pass it in order to know what's in it.
Well, I mean, the dangers can't even be stated, right, because we don't even know them. I mean, they could get rid of FISA. They could get rid of the FISA court, which is actually basically a rubber stamp.
It's already a rubber stamp, yeah.
But they could even get rid of that. It could be worse. I honestly think it could be a lot worse. Like
the Freedom of Information Act that Ralph Nader won for us back.
Well, people like to compare us to the Soviet Union, but the Soviet Union didn't have the kind of technology that we have nowadays.
No, didn't have the. It did not have the state capability of doing it.
And the West, and you could say West Europe and the United States, have the cutting edge technology, and they're not hesitant. In fact, they do use it against their own population mostly. That's why Edward Snowden came out with what he did, which, as I agree with Dr. Duke, he is an American patriot. He's an American hero.
Mm-hmm. He is. Yeah. Now the Chinese, they're using a lot of those capabilities, but and maybe people think I'm always shilling for the Chinese. But it seems like they're using it to.
Those people are wrong. I disagree.
I mean, I don't support it, but they're not attacking their own people the same way. Now, but leaving the Chinese aside, the Japanese have all of this technology and they're totally not using it. They're absolutely not using their technology to surveil people to anywhere near the extent of all these other countries. I think Japan's probably the freest country on earth, but it's in the crosshairs. So we just have a few seconds left. Any final words of wisdom for us?
Well, no, thank you for having me, and I look forward to doing some music with you. I think we're both going to do some music together.
Oh, we will do some music together, and then I will play them when I am back for another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.